Genesis 3 and verse 1. In previous days, we have dealt with the man of the garden. Adam's a pitiful creature. I will remind you, we were made just out of the mud of this old earth, the dust, what the Bible called it. And so, there's not a lot of good in us, but just old rotten clay. Without the grace of God, we'd all be in hell this morning. And then we seen not only the man of the garden, we seen the maid of the garden. God reached out and made woman and brought her unto the man. And we've taught in these days that men just need to go to sleep and wait upon the Lord. And God will bring you the right mate by. And then last week we dealt with the marriage of the garden, with how important to God that it is. This morning I want to deal with three little thoughts out of Genesis 3 on the message from the garden. The Bible said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, yeah, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. The serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, and your eyes shall be open, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. The woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be the desire to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. The Bible says, and the eyes of them both were open. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. There's that word, in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord God called unto Adam and said to him, where art thou? He said, I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you is naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree, wherefore I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat it. He said, it's somebody else's fault. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon your belly shalt thou go, and thy dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. You may be seated this morning. Now, I want to share with you three points that God has expressed to my heart concerning this message in the garden. I want you to note, first of all, that it is a message about Satan. A message about Satan. The Bible said in Genesis 3 and verse number 1, notice his appearance. His appearance. The serpent, he had to be a wonderful looking creature. Now notice, they've not always crawled on their belly. But before the curse, he come walking in the garden. Now, the Bible tells us about this thing of Satan, that he is a real devil. A lot of folks got a picture of the devil. He's just a little feller with forked ears and a pitchfork. But that's not the real world this morning. The devil, you'll notice in his appearance, he appeared in the garden. Now, in Ezekiel 28 and 13, I don't know if you've ever been shown where the devil originated and what he was, but Ezekiel tells us about just really how pretty the devil was. By the way, the devil still paints pretty pictures. He said this, in Ezekiel 28 and 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. There's that word. That every precious stone was your covering. And he says the sardis, the topaz and the diamond, the beryl, onyx and jasper and sapphire and emerald, carbuncle and gold, and the workmanship of thy tabrets and thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covers, and I've set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in your ways from the day thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they fill the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stone. Why? Something so pretty and so spectacular as Satan was, what happened? Well, verse 17. He said, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. He was a pretty thing. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thy iniquities. By the iniquity of thy traffic, therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, shall devour thee, and I'll bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. Now, real quickly, the parallel story, or the parallel history chapter is in Isaiah 14 and 12. Now let's take another quick glimpse of this beautiful devil. In Isaiah 14 and verse number 12, he said, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? God kicked him out. Son of the morning, how art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? Here it is, verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, the sides of the pit. Now this is what happened. Satan looked in the mirror and he figured out he was pretty. And he said, there ain't nothing like me, a lot like a lot of Baptists I know. Amen. They get to thinking more themselves than they think of God. And then he got to thinking about the power and the prestige of where God said, and he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you off of your throne and I'm going to rule the universe. And this is what God said. I don't take back seat to nobody. And cast him out of heaven. And now look where he landed. He's landed in the garden. And by the way, we all deal with him in this garden life. So we see the appearance of Satan. We see he's a serpent. He's a very beautiful creature. But then notice his abilities. The Bible said he was subtle. That's a Bible word that means he's a master trickster. Boy, he's good at tricking people. His abilities. But then thirdly, his access. He's no respecter of boundaries, whether it's garden or gutter, whether it's house or home. He's no respecter of boundaries. He'll come right into the garden of the paradise of your life. He'll come right in the middle of a church. He'll come right in the middle of a home. He'll come right in the middle of a job. He'll come any place where there's happiness. He hates happiness. You know why? Because he's miserable. He don't want you happy. He don't want you near happiness. He don't want you to have any kind of joy in your life. And he's very subtle. Now, me and you wouldn't have no problem with the devil if he was 40 foot tall and 50 foot wide and had a flashing light on his head. We would say, that is the devil. Stay away. That's the devil. And by the way, he or she will not wear a sign around their neck and say, I am the devil. So watch his ability. He's a great, great trickster. Now I want to show you something. It's going to help you. There's a message here about Satan and his appearance and his ability and his access. But now watch this. His advances. He loves the weak. He said to the woman in verse number 2. He came to her. In verse number 1, he said unto the woman, Verse number 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, he loves to come to the weakest vessel. The Bible says he's as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Yes, he will prey on the strong, but he loves to get the weak. I'm going to tell you, and when he can see just a little bit of who's the weakest in the flock, that's who he goes after. Just like a lion watching the herd. And you see the lion, he won't run after the strongest most of the time, but he'll see the weakest, the ones that's the furthest behind. And that's the one that he loves to prance upon. And that's why we, as the soldiers of Christ, as New Testament saints, we ought to reach out to the weak ones, to the young ones, and try to nurture them in the admonition of the Lord. Young Christian, watch out. The devil's after you. Older Christian, watch out. He ain't got no respect for you. He's after you. He loves the Samsons of the Bible also. But certainly we see his abilities. Now, he's very subtle in his access. He has no respect of boundaries. And his advances, he loves the weak. But now watch his approach. Now you watch this. His approach. Verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. His approach. Now, what's his approach? Watch what happened. You see, the devil does not show you what you have, but he always shows you what you don't have. He don't tell you everything that you've got that you can enjoy, but he'll show you that one thing that you can't have to enjoy. He never shows us how blessed we are, but he shows us just how downtrodden we are. Well, if he really loves you, he'll give you that too. That's why he really loves us, because he knows what's good for us. So he sets boundaries for us in our life. I don't understand everything. I don't know about y'all, but God don't do things my way. I wonder sometimes why it ain't going according to my calendar and my layout and my outline and my blueprint. Then I'm reminded that his ways are the highest. And he knows what's good for me and what's good for you. But the devil's the master. The devil will never show you what you have. He'll just show you what you don't have. Well, you got a red one and a green one, but I want a blue one. So we see his approach. He tries to show you there's something better. They had it made. They was in a paradise. They was in a garden. That's just like a lot of you this morning in your marriage. You've never had it so good, but he's showing you just how bad it is. I was raised out in the country, in case you ain't figured that out yet. We had barbed wire fences there. Looks like a lot of folks' head nowadays. Barbed wire fence. But that old cow would always try to reach their neck out across that top strand of wire because it looked so green over there in the ditch. What they didn't realize had never been so green or where they were standing. But the devil loves to show you what you don't have instead of glorifying God of what you do have. I'm taking inventory this morning. There's a lot of right things. Boy, I'm the world's worst. If I ever go someplace and eat and I get a little spot on my shirt, I don't notice everything else okay. I see that one spot. Well, this morning the devil loves to show you what you can't have. He won't show you what you really have. Mom and Daddy's taking inventory. A lot of you walked up them steps this morning with wonderful children, healthy and happy, looking to Mom and Daddy come in the house of God for guidance. And boy, they love you and you love them, but the devil won't show you the good things you've got. One of the young Christians stood this morning and said, thank God for the fellowship in this ministry. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have fellowship in this ministry, it's your fault. You're going to get out of it what you put in it. Folks here love you if you'll let them love on you. I don't like that kind of stuff. Well, then go to the grave without friends. But I'm going to have friends. I love people. I don't like being alone. I like people. And so we see the message of this garden about message about Satan. We see his advances. He loves the weak. We see his approach. He does not show you what you have. I love what one of the old theologians had to say. I got it out of a book yesterday, and this was his quote. Men are far more impatient of their restrictions than they are mindful of their liberties. Men are far more impatient of their restrictions than they are mindful of their liberties. The Bible says, and whatever we find ourselves to be content, the devil will have you out there running the whirlwind if you're not careful. Get, but you never do catch it. Never do reach it. So we see his approach. He does not show you what you have, what you don't have. But then we see his advice in verse 5 and 6. You see, Satan promised Adam and Eve that they'd become wise and divine. He's got good advice, won't he? He'll tell you young people why. You know, if you want to be in the in crowd, then do what the in crowd's doing. He has good advice for you. Yeah, he says, oh, it'll make you wise and it'll make you arrive, but that's not what happened. He's a liar and a master deceiver. See, young people, he'll love to show you the billboards, come up to the mountains, to the bush beer, but he won't show you the backside of it down at the funeral home or the emergency room or down at the morgue where mom and daddy's broken heart. He won't show you the backside of all of that. Mom and daddy's here. He'll show you how pretty other folks are. He won't show you how stable your home is. And he won't show you the divorce courts. And he won't show you all the payroll deductions of what's going to go on down the line. He'll just show you what's wrong with everything. His advice is always wicked advice. The wrong advice. He's the father of lies. He'll always give you wrong advice. But then notice this, verse 6, his assistants. He's got some assistants going on in the garden. His assistants. And what is this assistance? Well, in verse number 6, when the woman saw, oh, there's a terrible thing. The tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Some assistance. What was the assistance? I want to say this. Assistance is our lust within and our world without and our own moral weakness. The devil don't do all this by himself. Sit there with your halo on you want to. But he had some assistance called us. Some assist. The devil hadn't made you sin. The devil attempts you to sin. And so we've got a choice. We're not puppets. We're not a jack in the box. And so we see the message about Satan and his advice and his assistance. But his attributes are his character. What's his attributes or his character, this message about Satan? Well, I want to say this first of all. He's a trespassing devil. He don't care what borders he comes across. You'll not impress him with your church membership or your marriage vows. You see, he is a trespassing devil. He is a tricking devil, talking about his attributes or his character. He's a master tricker. He's a tracking devil. He tracked her down. He'll track you down. And I will say this. He's a talking devil. And he's a tempting devil. But in Revelation chapter 20, one day he's going to be a torched devil. My wife said, I got another one of them teas. Said he's going to be a toasted devil. I said, I like that tag team alliterating. I'm telling you this morning, the attributes of the devil, he'll trespass and he'll trick you and trap you and tempt you every time. He said, now, capital letters in your King James Bible. And I won't say this now, today, he's still alive and still tempting. Now, secondly, a message about Satan. There's also a message about sin. In verse number 7, you will find the power of sin. I want you to notice what happened. The Bible said this in verse 6, when the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit and did eat and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. Sin. The power of sin. This is the way it goes. First of all, you'll talk. Secondly, we'll listen. Third, we'll believe. Fourth, we'll obey. And fifth, we're conquered. The power of sin. You see this thing about sin? We all have a common origin. Adam. We all share a common heritage. The fall. We all enter into a common legacy. Sin. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, you'll see not only the power of sin, but in verse 7, the plunge of sin. Both were plunged into total depravity. They'd never had it so good. But you see this plunge of sin in verse number 7, the Bible said, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. Well, they didn't know it beforehand. What happened? Well, their conscious just become alive. God just quickened their conscience. Somebody said this, one of the old theologians I read yesterday, the conscious is nothing but the voice of God. Watch your conscience, because it can become seared. It can become calloused, and you can get so far away from God. This morning we see the plunge of sin in Romans 5 and 12. Boy, here's a very intriguing verse that sheds some light on me and you. In Romans 5 and verse number 12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see, this plunge of sin, Adam took the whole race of humanity into this thing of sin. Now we're all sinners. There's none good. No, not one. Mom and daddy's them children on your lap. You won't have to teach them to lie. It'll come natural. You won't have to teach them to cheat and steal. All that'll come natural. You'll have to keep them not from doing it. Why? Because the plunge of sin. We've all been plunged into this thing of sin. Now, Darwin's theory says this, man starts low, but he progresses upward. God said in creation, man started at the top and fell to the bottom. You see, this thing of gravity is amazing to me. In this fall, we all became sinners, and you better not trust nothing that's robed under this suit or skirt this morning. Because this flesh is wicked. Well, if you don't think Darwin's theory is wrong, read the newspaper. Watch the news. This world's gone crazy, friend. It's amazing to me a man can take and kill somebody in the courthouse on video camera, and then he have the rights to totally move all the deputies from another county in, that it would be a fixed trial. It ought not even be no trial. No, there'll be no trials on video. Man's wicked this morning. Our country's headed in a downward spin. But you know, it's just doing what the Bible said it would do. In the last days, men shall wax worse and worse. Darwin's theory's out of hell this morning. God created Adam and Eve. And therefore, this plunge of sin, we've all been plunged in this thing of sin. And then notice this, the product of sin. What does sin bring? Nakedness. It'll strip you of everything. I know a lot of people this morning don't have nothing because of sin. Young kids, go on down yonder in Crack Town. They'll sell you some. Go on, they'll sell you anything that you can buy. But I tell you what the product of it is, it always leaves you naked. Go down there at the liquor store, get your paper bag, put it under your arm, but I'm going to tell you this, it's going to leave you naked. The product of sin has always left us naked and stripped and void. The product of sin. Boy, Satan said they become wise and divine, but they become foolish and naked. The product of sin. Young people, the devil loves to show you a nice video. CMT's the greatest of marketing. They'll show you the high life around the bar and how everybody's smiling and real nice and boy, how pretty they are. And I agree with all that advertising. That's right. But the product of it, it'll leave you naked every time. Go out there and run with them. Lay with dogs, you're going to catch fleas. Play with fire, you're going to get burned. You say, well, preacher, you sure are square. Maybe. Preacher, don't you realize this is 206? I sure do. I feel it. The Bible said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. The church house ought not look like the world. Now we've beaten every drum out of come along. Well, let's do this. Let's do that. Let's do this. Why don't we just do what God called us to be? Christians. Saved by the grace of God. And love Him and love each other. Pretty simple. But it's hard to follow. So this morning, a message about Satan. A message about sin. Sin's power. Sin's product. Verse 8, watch your Bible. Sin's process, I'll be closing. They heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Now what happened? In verse 7, the Bible said they sowed fig leaves together. So what's the process? Sin will take you way, way from God. I mean, this process of sin... And then, look, if you would, the pride of sin. He tried to hide it instead of confess it. I love what one of the old scholars had to say about this thing of pride of sin. Notice they sowed fig leaves together, and they just run deeper and deeper, look, plural, into the trees of the garden. See, that's what sin will always do. It'll get you running from the opposite direction of God. And we wonder why sinners don't want to come to church. I can tell you why. They're convicted. It's bad enough we that are saved, the way we live like the devil through the week. That's why folks can't handle no more than 30 minutes of preaching. 3 hours of pornography. Listen what he said. The pride of sin. A forest of trees cannot conceal the guilty from the eyes of heaven. Boy, if you're a child of God this morning, you're playing around this thing of sin, I guarantee you, I don't care how far you run or how deep you go, it'll never get you away from the eyes of heaven, nor the voice of God. I preached on the prodigal son the other night about watch it because it's in walking distance. but it's also in whispering distance. And this is where I want to show you this morning. Look what he says. This pride, instead of hiding it, all he had to do was confess it, but ain't that a lot like me and you? We want to hide our sin instead of confess our sin. The Bible says that if we'll confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The price of sin. Verse 10, this is what God said. He said, I heard thy voice in the garden. You hear His voice this morning? Maybe you've heard His voice while I was preaching. He said, I was afraid. That's what sin always does. It'll make you afraid. Because I was naked, it always leaves you stripped. And I hid myself. It always makes you want to hide, but I want to remind you this morning, every tree on this side of God's heaven will never hide his eyes from knowing what his children's doing. There's a price of sin. Then, the pardon of sin. And it's found in verse 21. That's my last thought on the message. It's a message about Satan. It's a message about sin. But last, it's a message about salvation. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. This year, if y'all would come. Notice there was shedding of blood. Contrary to what some men teach, the conscience does not lead us to God. Adam's conscience was ignited and lit by his sin. Adam was very simple-minded, very safe. But the devil gave him a pill, and he swallowed it. And when Adam sinned, it totally took the clothing of the holiness of God off of him, and they looked at one another, they became naked, and they went to hunting things to cover their sin. I don't care what you're doing this morning, but you can't cover it up. You can join every church in the country, you can be baptized in every creek in this county, so every catfish knows your name, but until God has applied the blood, your sins are open and naked. I don't care how good you're trying to do. But I'm telling you this morning, there is a pardon for sin. And that pardon is this thing called salvation.